Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. That's the distinctive sound of the Jason Seed Stringtet. It's chamber music, to be sure, but is it chamber folk? Chamber jazz, something, something, crossover something?
Since 2008, Seed's compositions have married the timbres of electric guitar, piano, violin, viola, cello, and double bass. Seed is very proud that, among other accolades, some of their music has been featured on Morning Edition and All Things Considered.
Seed now lives in Chicago, but he returns to Milwaukee often to practice and to perform. Three of the band members play in the Milwaukee Symphony and live here. So it was here in Milwaukee, at Cloudland Studio on the East Side, that I caught up with the group as they were presenting some new music to a small invited audience. This tune is called Pinch. Jason Seed Stringtet, it is so great to talk with you again. Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And let's go around and introduce for people who aren't here sitting in the studio with us, who you are and what you play.
My name is Jason Seed, and I do all the compositions and arrangements and play guitar.
And I'm Glenn Ash, and I play violin.
I'm Marianne Parker, and I play piano.
Scott Tisdall, cello.
Dan Armstrong, bass.
I'm Helen Reich. I play viola.
Most of you have been in the studio before, and we should say we're not in Lake Effect Studio this time. We are in Cloudland Recording Studio, and this is an amazing space.
Let's thank
Larry for letting us do this. This is an amazing thing. And you are new to this, and how did you get connected with these guys?
So I believe it was about a year and a half ago, the summer of 2016, Dan Armstrong got in touch with me, and the Stringtet was playing a show at Pianoforte Studios in the South Loop of Chicago, and it was a benefit concert for the Kovler Center, and I believe it was the first time that they had played a show with piano for the recent time. So I'm not sure how Dan...
We quick came up with some arrangements.
Yeah.
No, I think we must have had some arrangements.
Yes.
Marianne came... Very highly recommended from some of the people that I know at the Chicago Symphony. And Marianne has a lot of experience in working with groups and
new music.
Played with Civic Orchestra in Chicago. And
how is it working with this kind of group and this kind of arrangement of stuff?
Oh, well, I tend, as you might know, Jason tends toward very highly rhythmic, complex metric pieces. And I tend to gravitate toward that myself.
Right,
I play with a lot of percussionists, right up my alley. So I love it.
Yeah, I noticed listening to the concert earlier that has not changed. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the tone and some of the color has shifted a bit since the last time you guys were in. But that wonderfully complex rhythmic stuff is still going on.
Yeah, that's always going to be in everything. I'd love that kind of area of music as a kind of base to have things melodically go over, you know?
I think one of the things we talked about when we first were in the studio was the idea of modern music. So much of it gets a bad rap because it doesn't think about melody.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've always loved about the way you all make music is that all of those complexities are there, but there's also a melodic thread that takes you through as a listener. And I think that marries the, you know, kind of hearkening back to the quote-unquote classical as well as jazz and all of those other things that you bring into it. But there you are, and you have some place to kind of set your ears,
right,
if that makes sense.
That's what makes total sense. I always feel like there has to be something of a narrative, you know, some type of developmental aspect to what's happening, where ideas lead from one to the next in a way that seems both organic and emergent.
So how has it evolved? I'm leaving Jason out of this question right now. For those of you who've been with the group pretty much since the beginning, how have things evolved?
I think that the pieces have gotten more sophisticated. because I remember Jason's earlier chamber music pieces, and it was a much smaller group then, even. It was just four of us. It was just Jason and me and Glenn and Dan. So it was just violin, viola, bass, and guitar. And I think that the pieces have evolved since then, since those earlier ones.
There's still a lot of those older tunes that I love going back to. The Where the Corners Meet,
yeah,
Pinch, which has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
We could go back to some of the tunes that I think you've lost the original files for, Pandora that we did a long time ago.
I would love to do that, yeah.
I mean, you've been writing great music for a while.
Thanks.
And it's rare that we play a concert where Jason hasn't come up with something that's new.
It's true.
And I don't know where you find the time. He's got a full-time job in Chicago, and as you said in our concert, sometimes you compose in your sleep, but
you got the electrodes, you know, right, attached to your brain while you're sleeping, so it just like transfers
just straight to MIDI, so
exactly.
It can output the notation.
Take it right there.
I'm curious, as a newcomer, are the arrangements that various members in the group write, is that a relatively new thing for the ensemble, or?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we all have our kind of pet bands that we like. I mean, I'm a Yes fan, and Dan is into the Eastern European and what was the
African? African.
Well,
that's right.
And so we've
just whatever comes up, you know.
Yeah. The trouble is, if we put an arrangement in front of the group, but it has to be darn good to compete with Jason's stuff. So we have to make sure that it passes. Passes the test. But we've started doing a little bit of that, yeah.
How about composing? Are any of you doing any composing?
No.
Not for the group?
Not really.
No. So just arrangement at this point.
Well, sometimes I don't know, I feel like when I write an arrangement, it often feels like composing. You're taking off and, you know, creating ideas.
Composing is a type of arranging in the first place.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. You take a small idea and expand it. And,
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't trust my own small ideas to begin with. Somebody else's.
Take somebody else's great melody and then you can run with it. You know, I agree. I think arranging, it's an undersung skill.
Yeah.
You know, people who aren't musicians don't really understand why it's so important to have a good arranger. Right. You know, because it really is the person, the magician that puts it all together and hears all those colors and all of the tonalities.
Well, just for an example, in the classical world, one of everybody's favorite classical piece pictures at an exhibition is Ravel's arrangement of Mussorgsky's piano piece.
Right.
And it's one of the top 10 pieces that orchestras play to sell tickets.
But it wasn't originally that. It was a piano piece.
It was a piano piece.
Yeah. Kind of with the jazz influence and stuff too. You think of Duke Ellington, but of course Billy Strayhorn did his arrangements, most of them.
A lot of them, yeah. And some original stuff. Take the A-Train, that was a Strayhorn too.
Yeah. And so I know everybody has full-time jobs. Either you're in the orchestra, you have a job down in Chicago. Mm-hmm. How much do you get together? And would you like it to be more?
Oh, I'd definitely like it to be more. Yeah, it's difficult to coordinate everybody's schedules. You know, two different orchestras, and then Marianne is a freelancer, has her schedule, and I have a full-time job as a psychiatric nurse, and I'm also in graduate school. So
yeah, there wasn't enough already filling your days.
Right.
You have to
I take up some new hobby of some sort of, like sleeping.
Yeah.
when we have a gig coming up. Like, we play at Lineman's. We usually feel lucky if we can find one afternoon or maybe even a morning when Jason and Marianne can drive up from Chicago and we can all get together. That's usually it. And then we hope to get to the gig early enough that we can run a few things that we might have missed at the rehearsal. So it's this real seat-of-the-pants stuff.
There's always one or two new charts to learn,
always.
Too, in that,
that's right.
in within the space of half an hour per chart.
So is there any idea of taking this on the road? Would you like to tour this? Because I think it would be great on tour, and I think you'd find lots of people interested in hearing it.
We think so, too, and we tried it a few years ago. I mean, we didn't try touring. Right. We tried We actually had management once upon a time, and it didn't work very well. You know, I mean, how do you categorize it? We want so much these days to categorize it, to put it in a little box and give it a label. And this music, we haven't found a good way to do that yet. And, you know, there's the old saying about talking about music is like dancing about architecture, right? It's better listened to than discussed. It's been kind of frustrating. And if anybody out there in Radioland has any ideas, let us know, because we don't have a clue about what to do anymore. Right. I mean, we sort of take stabs at, you know, well, let's try playing here. Let's try going there. Maybe the right person will show up who knows how to put it all together. You have to sort of make a space in your schedule to do that, which I'd be very happy to do. I'd be very willing to do that. The right opportunity has just not come up.
I've always kind of seen it too as like one way we could approach that is to picture different orchestras as little islands we could hop to to do a tour where we'd be on their programs as our group, as some either some side thing or some, you know, afternoon concert type thing or whatever. But, you know, play in Los Angeles, play San Francisco, play Cleveland, whatever. Because, you know, this type of stuff in a bar situation, like, is a little iffy. Because you really need a listening crowd.
We recently played at the Estate, the Jazz Estate on Murray Street.
We did it.
They have an interesting thing going on Sunday evenings now, where they'll bring in sort of an acoustic style group that's not necessarily a jazz-oriented group. So we fit into that category really nicely, and we played at the Jazz Estate. The thing that's nice about the Jazz Estate, and then we also played at Lineman's, is we bring in a listening crowd, and then we don't even use the PA system. It's a lot easier to play when we can hear each other without having to run through microphones and speakers and...
Yeah, and the comparison to chamber music here is very important, because Jason's music is very complex and intricate. And if you can't hear all the moving parts, some of which are going to be, maybe they might be soft, they might be very delicate. If you can't hear them because people are talking or because, you know, beer bottles are smashing someplace, then you might miss something really important. Right. So,
And cause a train wreck in the ensemble.
Exactly. It can throw us off, too.
Yeah.
We had somebody at Lineman's had a heart attack.
A seizure. Yeah. She had a seizure.
Jason was right there.
Right. My mom was there at that concert. My mom was a nurse. So.
She was so excited by our performance. No, she was
grand mauled out.
She came out of it. And
Yep. And she decided, you know, signing off on going to the hospital and everything, even though an ambulance came. And it was pretty dramatic.
Wow. Yeah,
it was a little awkward getting back on stage afterwards, you know.
Put you off your trajectory.
The slow Beethoven movement was up after she had left, and I remember thinking, is this too dark? It ended up working fine.
It worked fine.
And speaking of the Beethoven, God, that's a beautiful arrangement of that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I was listening to it, and I thought, you know, I think we could do this. I just, in terms of all the different melodic ideas that are happening at one time, and there are enough of us. It works.
It's interesting. I know what the original sounds like, but I didn't feel like I missed anything. I didn't feel like I missed pieces or colors or parts or it all kind of felt as
it's
a,
all
a
pretty
piece.
Much there. Yeah, I used both the symphonic score and a piano arrangement by Liszt as the go-to sources back and forth to piece it together.
Really nice.
What I felt like about that Beethoven's seventh funeral march is that orchestras kind of go out of their way to try to turn that into chamber music. And we already did. We did it like chamber music. That's what big orchestras try to do with that piece. Make it more intimate, more kind of
exposed,
more vulnerable, sort of.
You know, and that's a great word for, I think, what you do. It's very complex. It requires active listening on the part of the audience, but it's also very intimate and it's mm-hmm. also very vulnerable. I always feel like whenever I hear you play that I'm getting your hearts as well as the complex technical things that are going on. I feel like it's just all right there.
I think that's a big part of that is like sticking to the narrative kind of idea. There has to be a story evolving in whatever abstract way for there to be like a kind of emotional development. So for me, in writing anything, there's always, you know, there's some idea you come up with, and then there are 10,000 different ways you could go with that idea. All but 10 of them are horrible. And then of those 10 that are not horrible, there's two that are good, that are really good. And of those two, from that, you kind of have to surf the best ideas as they develop, you know, organically and emerging from the past ideas. So as things go, if you can manage to keep a narrative continuity of the whole thing, that's where, for me, the emotion comes in and can maintain itself and develop and not just have a series of, like, nice little moments, but, like, a longer arc.
The Jason Seed Stringtet is Jason Seed, composition and guitar, Dan Armstrong on bass, Scott Tisdell, cello, Helen Reich, viola, Glenn Ash, violin and viola, and Marianne Parker on the piano. The performance and interview was recorded in Milwaukee's Cloudland Studio by studio owner Larry Philibaum.
The ensemble will play a gig this Friday evening at Linneman's in River West. You can find out more about them and see their performance schedule at WUWM.com.